Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And I'll be too far behind.
All right, come on. It's enough with the Christmas. Knock it off. No more Christmas music. I've had enough of this. Am I the only live host live on The Savage Nation? Yes. Always here. It's a vacation. A vacation from what? Having the greatest time of my life? Anyway, here we are. So turn down the music so they can hear me, because they can't multitask. The audience that I have can only do one thing at a time. First of all, here are the rules. We're going to have unprotected talk today. There's no call screener. The only individual who was forced to work today is Robert Borowski on the board, but there's no call screener. There's no one screening calls. So therefore, if you've always wanted to get on a national talk show but couldn't, today is a chance for you to try, because what I'm going to do is take the lights. I don't know who's calling, don't know what you're calling about. They're automated right onto the board. All of these lines are lit. I'm just going to take it, and we'll see what you have to say. Now, there's only a few rules. If you get vulgar, bing, you're off. If you get on the air and insult me, I'm going to hang up. What's the point? It's not good radio. So I'm going to ask some questions. You're going to call. It could be open mic if you wish. But the phone number is 855-407-282. I have several topics I would like to lead with. And the first one is, who is the worst person in the media and why? I may as well get negative, since Christmas is now over and the spirit of goodwill is gone. I can now revert to my normal self, which is being an equal opportunity knocker. So who is the worst person in the media and why? If you call and you say it's me, you won't get on the air. It's an easy one. It's not fun radio. Another topic that was on my mind was marijuana versus alcohol. I figured I'll get all of the potheads to call. And I was going to ask you a simple question. Were you stoned at Christmas? And why? Why can't you take reality? What is it of reality you can't take? Why did you have to get high on Christmas? And how did your relatives look? What, do you think you were getting over on them because you were stoned and they weren't? You think it makes you cool? We can talk about that, because I'm going to talk about the dangers of marijuana and why legalizing marijuana is a terrible idea for America. In plain English, it will just increase the number of abusers of this drug. Yeah, I know it's less addictive than tobacco. I know it's less addictive than alcohol. I know all of that. But nevertheless, does it mean it's good for you? Marijuana is a very dangerous drug. It is a gateway drug. And the harmful side effects, which the government is hiding from you, are very important. And that's why I say I'm totally against legalizing marijuana. Now, I don't want people in jail for using it, by the way. So those are two questions. Who is the worst person in the media and why? Were you stoned at Christmas and why? Why can't you take reality? And then we're going to do, you know, another one I wanted to do? Here's a bunch of, look, I could read a sports car magazine right now and have a full show. Every line is lit right now. You can't even call the number. It's done already. It's fun, the unprotected talk shows. I don't do them anymore. I used to do it once in a while. Now we're doing it today. Like, I have magazines here. Car magazine, flying magazine, Hemmings Motor News. And if I wanted to do cars, I could do cars for an hour. Another topic I really wanted to do, since it's sort of the end of the year, almost, perhaps, maybe, which is this. If you were going to be executed at midnight tonight, again, because Christmas is over, I can go into the true dark side of my nature, which is much more satisfying for me. Not more fun, but more satisfying for me to dwell in a little side of the dark side of my nature. I enjoy it more. I'm tired of being nice. I'm tired of having to be cheerful. Most people are not nice and cheerful. They're very mean. And the thing I'm asking you is this. If tonight at midnight you were going to be executed for being a conservative, or for whatever reason, and you were given a choice of a last meal, and Michelle Obama did not have control over what you could eat, imagine, God forbid, if she imposed her rules on people who had their last meal, and they'd have to eat broccoli and, like, steamed vegetables, it wouldn't even be worth committing a crime to get executed. Or something like that. The thing is, what would your last meal be? How could you eat knowing you're going to die? That's what I don't understand. I get nervous if I'm going to die. I mean, if I knew I was going to die at midnight, who could eat? That's a stupid question. But you see these geeks in prison eat these extraordinarily rich meals. Like, okay, I understand you're not worried about a heart attack, so you eat all the rich food. Or you're getting over on the state and you're getting all of that stuff. But how could you eat it knowing you're going to be lethally injected shortly thereafter? I couldn't eat it all. I mean, if I just had to take a driver's test the next day, I can't eat dinner. Anyway, those are some of the ideas I have. So let's, without any further introduction, go to the real fun part of the day. And I'll do all the politics. Trust me, I will. I will. I swear to God I will on the Savage Nation. I'll do Obama talking to the troops, which is ludicrous since he gutted the military, purged the military, destroyed the military as fast as he could. Now he's Mr. Commander-in-Chief all of a sudden. He's got the lowest rating in history of any commander-in-chief, 15%. Only 15% of those in the military support him. I don't know who those 15% would be, probably LGBT generals and their friends, I would think. Who else would support this man? So, you got the questions. Let's go for it. Let's start with line one. You're on the Savage. You have anything to say? Say it. All right. There's the Moronsky one is gone. Oh, so here are the rules. We're going down the list. It's unscreened calls, unprotected talk. When I say go, you talk. Don't ask me how I am. Don't say Merry Christmas. Don't say Happy Hanukkah. Just make your point. Line two, you're on the Savage Nation.
How is Mr. Commander-in-Chief all of a sudden?
Hello.
Yes.
I could talk to Michael if that's possible.
You're on the show. Say something, dumbbell. Number two, if these are my audience, I'm quitting radio. I'm leaving radio. If this is the best the world can offer me. Hello, I want to talk to Michael. Is there Michael there? All right, we'll start again. Here's the rules. The minute I say go, you turn your radio off and speak. We'll try number three, or else this is not going to work. I'll just read the phone book. Line three, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, happy holidays to you and your family.
Again, a happy holiday. I said don't say happy holidays. Goodbye. I am Scrooge McSavage tonight. I hate the holidays. That's why I'm working today. I can't stand the holidays. They drive me crazy. All of this false happiness and consumerism. I'm sick of it. Morons running around, seeing relatives they hate. We'll try again. Line four, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes.
Go ahead. Speak. Make your point.
What I'd like to know is why conservative talk shows and that scream for the roof about President Obama's real father, Frank Marshall Davis, who was a comic.
All right. That's a good point. Thank you. That's around 5 years old, that issue. I think we wrote about that in 2009. About Frank Marshall Davis, the evil communist who mentored the young Barry, the real father. They say it's the real father, you know. It doesn't matter if his father was the devil himself. He's the president right now, okay? It wouldn't matter if he was born on the moon. It's already 6 years into it already. Stop with the birth certificate. Next line, line six, you're on the Savage Nation. Your point, please. No one.
I want to know why the fuel prices are as low as they are, and who is responsible, Obama or Bush?
Wait, Obama or who?
Bush. George Bush, and I'll be perfect.
Wait, what does Bush have to do with the fuel prices?
Well, I was thinking that maybe it was somebody is responsible for.
Well, the answer is this. You want the straight answer? The Saudis are in a conspiracy to drive down oil prices to crush the American shale market. We're producing so much domestic oil right now because of the shale and the fracking and whatnot, mainly the shale, that the Saudis are trying to hold on to their market share by reducing prices and dumping oil on the market, because otherwise they'd be pounding sand. And as a result of that, there are some unintended consequences which idiots such as those running our government think are a good thing, such as Russia is in trouble. The value of the ruble has collapsed by 50% since 50% of Russia's income is based on oil. They think it's great that Russia is struggling. What the girls, the sorority that runs America, who advises the thin man, don't know is that wars are usually caused when you push major powers like this. The girls who went to Harvard don't understand they're going to push Putin into a greater war. That's what the girls in the sorority don't seem to understand. They're never going to break Putin. If the Russians have to eat wood, they'll eat wood before they knuckle under to this fraud. Let me tell you that. Any other questions? Because I have my opinions. Line six, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
All right.
Yes, Michael, last week you were talking about the communists participating in these anti-police rallies across the nation. You're the only radio talk show host in America that's making this connection. I was doing a little research inspired by your commentary, and if you go to PLP, that's ProgressiveLaborParty.org, I hope there's some law enforcement or FBI people listening to your station today. On November 30th, this is right on their website, it says, more than 40 Progressive Labor Party members and friends from New York City, Chicago, and Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles traveled to Ferguson this weekend to express solidarity with the workers of Ferguson. And
what city are you what city are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chatham, New Jersey. This is Greg Chatham.
But are you listening to me on WABC, I assume?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. I don't even know which stations are carrying it. I think many stations are carrying Christmas music, and I'm not even being broadcast. So actually, that's a good thing. Identify your name and where you're calling from. That would be fun. Yes, the fact is there's an anti-riot act on the federal books, but if you ask the FBI to enforce it, you're asking the wrong department, since they work for Holder, who wants the riots. So we're going in a circle here. Holder wants the disturbances in the streets. You know that.
Michael, you played that clip to Eric Holder on your show a couple of shows ago.
I played it the other day where he said we're all disturbers. Yes, he's causing this.
And what
he should be impeached. But who are we going to turn to? The drunks in the Republican Party?
Mike, what was chilling to me was when he used the word we. He's supposed to say they. He said we.
They are a we. Holder and Obama and the rioters are one and the same.
Exactly, and they're not afraid to admit it anymore.
Why should they be afraid, since they control the FBI and the media? What do you think, Jake Tapper is going to report on it? That marionette fool?
Mike, you're...
That disgraced fraud that they yanked out of Washington, D.C.? Where'd they get that lunatic from? Who made him a serious journalist? Wolf Blitzer? Where did he go, to the Wolf Blitzer School of Journalism? Thanks for the call. I can't give away anything free because there's no call screener to take your name and email address, and we can't send you anything. Slain officer saw streets as a ministry. You didn't know this. But the Hispanic cop who was shot by the black lunatic, Rafael Ramos, was just hours away from becoming a lay chaplain before, and fellow New York police officer, the Chinese national, originally from China, Wen Jianyu, were executed in their patrol car in Brooklyn, New York. And so they killed him. The streets were a ministry for this good Hispanic man, killed by a black hater of whites. In fact, it's coming out now that on Facebook and other places, they're saying it's a shame that they didn't kill white police. That shows you the climate that has been created in this country by Barack Obama, Eric Holder, but most importantly, the most vile creature the world has ever seen, let's say America. I wouldn't say the world. I would say the worst person in the history of America is Al Sharpton. I would rank him as the worst person in the history of the country. Why? There are people who have done worse, but they're not people who hide behind God and religion who have done more damage than him that I know of. I would say Jesse Jackson's a number two. He's easily overtaken his old friend. But we've done this before. There's no point in going back and talking about that. Again, this is open mic to mic. It's unprotected talk. There is no call screener today. There's only you and me and the old poor Robert on the board. So the lines are completely whacked, jammed out, because I'll tell you what I did. To prime the lines, I had Doug up in the office send out a message to all of my Facebook fans and my Twitter account saying, Savage Live today, be sure to call. I don't know who got that, but I would think it's in the hundreds of thousands because I have a very large Facebook, Twitter list of people. And not everyone has gone to sleep today to return presents. What is a normal person doing today? I don't even know what they do. I mean, I'm interested in the news. Yesterday was one of the worst days of the year for me. A black hole. I mean, I had a best of show on, but there was nothing to do. Everything was closed. I'll give you an example. I was in L.A. last week. I got to tell you the story. I went to an Indian buffet, of course. They had a menorah in an Indian buffet in L.A. Here in Marin County, I figured a Jewish deli would be open on Christmas Day. In Marin County, California, even the Jewish delis were closed. So I came to the conclusion that Indians in L.A. are more Jewish than Jews in Marin County in San Francisco. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Back. You are the customers of the Savage Nation, and believe me, I know my job. You are the real boss of the show, and I know that my job is to please you at the end of the day. Whether I'm angry, you know, sad, happy, brilliant, silly, doesn't matter. It's fundamental that I please you. And I want to remind you, you're the boss. Without callers, there's no talk show. Many people in the business forget that. They think that it's like Obama. They think that he thinks he's God. And he doesn't care about the voters. And what happens is, the same in a business, a small, could be a candy store, a 7-Eleven, it could be a country, or it could be a nation, it could be anything. The boss are the customers, or else you wind up with two Dixie cups and a string in my business, talking to yourself. So since you are the boss of the show, and I continue to perform in any way I wish, mainly with you in mind, if you care to get on the show, you can't. It's that simple right now because there's not a single line open. I mean, yesterday was a black hole for me. I had a best of. Thank God it was my voice I could listen to. It's only 3 good hours yesterday, which is me listening to the replay of my show. And they wanted me to do a replay today. I said, I'm not doing it. I'm going live Friday. There's too much news. So they can only get one staff member, poor Robert Borowski, in the control room. This guy works Thursday, Friday, works nights, Sundays. Thank God he enjoys radio. He's one of the real guys. But no call screener, so it's unscreened radio. And who do you think is the worst person in the media? Is the number one question. And all the news of the show.
Savage.
For the government. Michael Savage gave a speech in 1998, Beware the Government Media Complex. It's that simple. So there we are. It's Friday. It's December 26th, 2014. There's plenty of news out there. We're having unprotected talk on the show where there's nothing between you and the audience. And I've raised some questions. The phone number is irrelevant. You can't get on the show. All lines are jammed. The rules are simple. You just state your name and the station you're listening to and make your point. So let's start again with line 7. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Not there. Okay, so let's do it this way. They don't know when I'm going to hit their number, I guess. Now, let's be fair to the callers and listeners. Okay, if you've called the show, Robert, what are they getting, a busy signal? I mean, what happens when it gets through on a red light? I'm saying, but right now, as they're calling, what are they getting? They're getting a busy signal. So if I call, pick them up, how do they know they were picked up? Okay, so the minute you hear me say you're on the radio with Michael Savage, hang up your radio, turn off your radio. Okay, you're on the air with Michael Savage. What's on your mind?
The worst person in the media in the United States is the press secretary. I can't remember his name, but it starts with him. I mean, the spin and the Ramos cut.
You mean the press secretaries on MSNBC and CNN, right?
No, the press secretary working for the...
Yeah, they're all the press secretaries for the king. Jake Tapper, then, would be a press secretary for Obama.
Oh, just the spin.
I get it. Yeah, no, he's horrible, whatever his name. No one knows that cretin. Mediaite readers picked the worst of the media for 2014. Worst reporting of the year, Rolling Stone, on the University of Virginia rape case that was false and made up. And anyone who expected Rolling Stone to be a valid source of information should go to the Huffington Post on a regular basis. Worst cable news host, Sean Hannity, Fox News. Worst cable news show, Hannity, Fox News. Worst print web columnist, Maureen Dowd, New York Times. Worst TV pundit, Al Sharpton, liberal. Worst TV pundit, conservative, Sean Hannity. Boy, he really got the brickbats, this one. Woo! I can't say a word about it. You know, it is what it is. He's had a good run. I would support him if he ran for the Senate, incidentally. I'd like to see him run for the Senate in Florida. They deserve him. He'd actually be a perfect candidate for the Republican Party. What could be better? Do you remember when the car arrived in Las Vegas, the scenes in The Godfather? I couldn't find it on TV yesterday. I didn't understand it. Normally on Christmas Day, they have the trilogy. It's probably on today. Usually on a horrible channel with ads in between Tony this and that, and some are getting killed. I'm so bored I'm watching old Sopranos episodes. It's so bad, there's nothing. Well, no, there's some good television out there. I like Homeland. It was the worst episode in history was last Sunday. The worst. It went from the most exciting, dynamic show in history to a chick flick. It was like Lifetime television last week. The baby, the mother, the crying, the weeping, the wringing of the handkerchief in the hand. There was no action in the show. The only hope was when the old Saul came on the air. I hope someone was going to be killed. Every minute you thought someone was going to be killed in the streets of Virginia by a jihadist. Nothing. What are they thinking? Would they have a guest writer for that segment? Then I'm also watching a show, The Affair. I don't know. I'm up and down with that one. I only watch it after Homeland. I started watching it. Yeah, the girl is great. I mean, the woman who plays the waitress who, you know, has the affair with the married guy with four children, she's the best actress in it, although they're all quite good in that one. So there is very good television. A lot of talented people out there. I don't care what their politics are. You know what I'm saying? Don't remind me that their politics are all psycho, wacko, left-wing. I know what they are. That's irrelevant. What's relevant is, do they entertain me? It's all that matters to me when I turn the TV on. It's like if I drive an old Jaguar, do I care that the politics of the people who built it in those years were all left-wing? Do I ask myself that all the workers in England in 1970 who built the most beautiful car on earth, the XKE, do I care that they were all socialist laborites? That the workers whose hands put together this monocoque body for me and the wire wheels, that they were commies or socialists? I don't care. The car is a piece of junk, but it's a wonderful car. No, it really isn't that bad. As long as you're not going more than 3 miles from home, you have not only a cell phone, but you have a two-way radio, you have a satellite hookup to a garage. No, it doesn't break down anymore. And the point is what I'm saying is, I don't care who built the car. From Russia with love, with no love. Party pooping Putin cancels holiday vacation. Look how the communists at CNN put that on the air. Party pooping Putin? That's the best the morons can do with CNN. Putin canceled the holidays and vacations for members of the government, which is what Obama should do for the lazy bums who work for the federal government. He should have forced them to take 2 weeks off at no pay in this country, since our battered economy can't afford these bums with their huge, huge holidays and huge vacation monies and pensions. But no, Obama shouldn't have taken a vacation. What, he earned it? Line 7, you're next up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
The Wall Journal.
Yes.
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper. What is it that you don't like about the pretty boy?
He always goes to all the, the places in the world, and he just seems like he have kind of like enjoy like the disasters and the
problems. Oh, that's interesting. So you see him like literally dancing on the graves of the dead.
Yes.
That's really interesting. No, I don't like him at all. Listen, here's the thing about Anderson Cooper. He's one of the few that I don't like his politics, but I don't mind him. He's a nice kid, probably a nice guy. I'd probably enjoy talking with him, but I know he is what he is, and he can't help it. And the thing is, he's just a left-wing guy, and this is what he does, what he thinks he should do. He has no following because of, I think, for the reasons you say.
Yeah, I mean, he goes, with his vest and kind of like pretend, but...
Oh, the vest, yeah, like he's on safari, yeah, on a very serious venture.
Yeah, I'm calling...
All right, my friend, where are you calling from? What city?
Milford, Connecticut.
And what station are you listening on?
WICC.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm so glad you're a regular listener. You are the boss. You are the boss of the show. The real boss is the customer. Never forget that. I dance to your tune. Everyone on radio thinks that they're the boss, and they act arrogant, and the people stop listening to them. Look, I could do it. I can get narcissistic and arrogant. I try not to. Because this is a medium where you start to think, oh, yeah, I'm so great. That's why I'm on the radio. Let me tell you, you don't last too long in this business if you start to think you're too great. That's a rule of almost anything. People don't like arrogance. They like well-deserved acclaim, but they despise arrogance. You know that. And why? Because most people are struggling every day of their life. And they want to relate to somebody that they think is like them. to some extent. Next caller, line number 8. You are on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Michael, this is Anthony from Las Vegas. I'm very disappointed. I'm a veteran from Vietnam. I'm very disappointed in all my brother vets that we all know that there's a communist takeover and we're not doing anything. We took an oath to protect this country from foreign and domestic.
Well, Barack Obama is really no different than Ho Chi Minh.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? He's almost identical in his philosophy to Ho Chi Minh?
I totally agree. But looking at who's behind him and who's he's got working for him, it all turns to a communist takeover. I'm sorry to say that.
But it is. I know that. I've studied this. I know it's a communist takeover. But here's what people are saying. So what if it is? I'm not suffering. Things aren't that bad because this is a different type of communist takeover. This is the slow type of socialism that I wrote about 3 books ago. There's different strategies. Some communism was conducted through the barrel of a gun, like that of Mao Zedong. Some communism was conducted through a much more stealthy attack of the type done by Barack Obama, who is the sneakiest communist in the world history. But he is following the exact philosophy of world communism. Why would he have reached out to Fidel Castro if not?
You're right. You're right. And, you know, I've been campaigning against this guy since I first met him. I got bracelets made up that Save Our Country, Impeach Obama years ago. And now, you know, I talk to everybody I can, no matter where I go. But it is changing on the street because I do kind of live on the street. People are understanding, even the black youth, especially the young guys, are understanding that this guy duped everybody.
Well, you don't have to tell me that. I mean, everyone forgets because Jake Tapper wouldn't report it. There were black radical activists, the intelligent group, that looked through him and saw him 4 weeks ago and they came out against him. They knew he was a liar and a con man. They knew. I mean, you could look right through him. He's one of the, like, that type of personality they can see right through, whether he's of any race. They don't like being lied to by anybody. They know he's a con man.
Right. You know.
All right, look, I don't want to sit here and bash Obama. It's too easy and boring. It's just, you know, it's a boring, you know. This is Michael Savage on Cumulus Media Network and other stations. And we have a live show. I'm actually live today. I know it sounds like it's a replay. And once we start bashing Obama, it could be from 4 years ago. I do not play hip-hop music. I do not play rap music other than to ridicule it. We play old rock and roll. We play classical music. We play heavy metal. We play ethnic music. And we're talking about all the news, views, and reviews of the day. And there is some news out there. I mean, it's like, you know, it's funny. How come the terrorists don't work on Christmas? Did they take a holiday? I was expecting an attack somewhere. I thought that the Hitlers with headscarves would do something horrible. Well, they're turning churches into torture chambers. But you didn't hear about that in your church on Sunday. I get it. It was all nice and fine and wonderful. I had an interesting Christmas myself. I had a very nice Christmas Eve. I'm not Christian, but I went to the Grace Cathedral here in San Francisco because as an American, I feel it's the most important holiday of the year for all Americans, Christmas. And so I went to a service. I wanted to see what it was like. I like to go to great cathedrals if I'm in a city where there is a great cathedral on Christmas Eve. And I went to Grace Cathedral for the service, and I had some caveats before I walked in. It's one of the most liberal hotbeds in the country. And I knew that there was going to be like a lesbian doing social network. I couldn't take that. And I made a decision that I wasn't going to yell, wasn't going to yell out, wasn't going to mutter. If they were going to start in with the blasphemy of what Christmas meant by making it a social liberal thing, I was going to walk out and that would have been the end of it. But they didn't. The Grace Cathedral in San Francisco is a Gothic cathedral. That's really awesome. I would say it ranks as one of the great cathedrals in America for sure. Astounding. I'd never been in it. And they had like a streamers coming down from the ceiling that were electrified. So when you looked up, the ceiling must have been 100 feet high. It was like looking into light coming down from the heavens themselves. It was astounding. The people were very dignified, quiet, ordinary middle class people. There was no social stratification where, let's say, the donors or the regulars went to the front. I was dreading seeing Pelosi, but she's Catholic, so I don't think she goes there. I didn't have to see any politicians, you know, put in the front of the line. It was very interesting. And then they started the sermon. It was kind of very, actually, it was no sermon. They were singing the opening prayer. And what's interesting is the prayer ended with what was exactly in the Jewish prayers. The Lord is one, God is everywhere. I thought that was beautiful. So I sat through the first 10 minutes. I just wanted to get the experience. I'm sort of a urban anthropologist. And then when they got to that part, I said it in Hebrew. I said, the Shema Yisrael Adonai Elohim Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem HaVod Elohim Vo'ed. And I left, and I went immediately across the street to the Fairmont Hotel to have a vodka. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Do I want to turn the clock back? Would I like to be back when this song was big? No. Had enough already of this rotation. Welcome back to the program, 855-400-728. I don't know about people who talk about the good old days. I did that show the other day. There are no good old days. They never were good. I did that show the other day. I don't mean to be like, you know, just trying to be. But the truth is, when were the good old days in America? When? When were the good old days? I mean, we beat the life out of that subject. Memories of the good old days that never were, I did on Tuesday, I think, right? Then I was off Wednesday. I don't know when. Right, then there was a best of Thursday. Now I'm back Friday live. The phone number is 855-407-282, but don't call it because you can't get through. It's amazing. Unscreened calls are amazing. Unprotected talk. I'm getting nice callers. The first two were duds. They were like munitions that didn't go off, you know. But the thing is, the others were good. Like landmines you step on and they don't go off, thank God. We're talking about all the news of the day. Who do you think is the worst person in the media? What would your last meal be if you were going to be executed, like, tonight? Just to be bizarre. Legalizing marijuana is not a good idea for America is another topic I'm going to talk about because of the dangerous side effects. It's a hallucinogen. Very dangerous one at that. All this and more right here on your favorite talk show, The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We're having unprotected talk tonight on the radio stations that are live, not playing Christmas music. We have no call screener in. We have only poor old Robert B. on the board, which means that you can't get through. I'm not giving you the phone number because you can't even call it. It'll all be busy. But if I pick you, you hang up, you turn off the radio, you tell me your name and what city you're from, and then give me your, you know, what you're calling about. And we have certain topics that we're talking about, mainly the issue of who is the worst person in the media? Who do you think is the worst person in the media? If you call and you say it's me, I'm not going to talk to you. It's ridiculous. You don't like me. What are you listening for? You know, I'm going through my old papers from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I can't believe how time, whatever. And something fell out of one of the journals from 1960s when I was a young guy looking to make it in the world. I tried to get a job as a salesman in some, I don't know, they rented a suite in a hotel in Manhattan and they're trying to, like, hire salesmen. I don't know what it was for, but it was a sales seminar. And certain things I learned in the sales seminar that have stayed with me from the beginning, which I'm not going to tell you because then you'll use it against me, or people who I negotiate with will know I'm using the techniques. But some of the trick, I swear to God, some of the techniques, these guys, these were really sharp operators. These were really tough customers. They weren't like out of the Sopranos. They were out of the Christian, the Midwestern WASP Sopranos type. Really slick con men. I don't know what they were selling. I can't remember, but they were good salesmen. And I looked right through them and I had fun. And one of the sheets that fell out is this. I'm going to read it to you. Meet the real boss. And here's what was on it. They were trying to teach us how to be a salesman. It says, meet the real boss. No matter whom you work for, your real boss is the customer. He calls the tune we all dance to. Have you ever wished for a job where you could be your own boss, where you didn't have to please anyone but yourself? There probably isn't any such job anywhere, unless you want to live like a hermit in a cave, grow your own food, and make your own clothing. People think of the fellow who runs his own business as being his own boss. Nobody can tell him what to do. The truth is that he's greatly concerned about pleasing people, probably even more so than the rest of us. He has to please his customers. If he doesn't, he knows from experience that he isn't going to keep them very long. The minute you want something from others, especially money, you've got to give them something they want in return. Everybody has to please somebody. It's a rule of success that applies right up the line, from the lowest paid employee to the president or chairman of the board. The president has to please the stockholders as well as the customers. If he fails in either respect, he may find himself out of a job. The business of business is pleasing customers. That's fundamental. And as long as it is, we'll need bosses to remind us of it and to help find better ways of doing it. That's what bosses are for. If the boss occasionally wants you to work harder or smarter in order to give the customer better value, take it in stride. After all, isn't that what you're looking for when you buy something, better value for your money? There's only one business, the one where you work, where you have to satisfy other people. The rest of the time, you're the customer, and others have to please you. If they want you to spend your money for their products and services, they've got to give you something you want at a price you're willing to pay. Everything considered, that's not such a bad deal, is it? Pretty fair all around. I don't know who was the author. I don't know what they were selling other than how to sell. This is part of the sales kit I learned. And I've tried to remember it my whole life. I know a man who's a very wealthy man. I don't know what he's worth. He gives away a lot, hundreds of millions of dollars, and he built every dime on his own. No, he didn't take it from anybody. All you Occupy losers out there, you dregs of humanity. You know, in my day, would have been thrown in jail for what you're doing to this country. Just loitering alone, you'd be imprisoned, because we know you're up to no good. 99% of the Democrat voters are basically violating the law one way or the other. Just by being on welfare, they're breaking the law. So anyway, not the law of the land, but the law of humanity, because they're able-bodied. 90% of the people on welfare are able-bodied workers who are just gaming the system. This man told me, and this is something people who don't have money don't understand, the wealthiest man I know, well, one of the wealthiest men I know, said to me, he said that if I could line up all the behinds I've had a kiss in my life to get where I am, they'd go around the world twice. And this is a very proud man. This is not a guy who's subservient to anyone. But he was making a point, which is that when you're in business, you have to please people. Even if you're a big businessman, you have to do deals with people. That means you have to please them. That means you have to work with people. That means you have to learn how to accommodate people's needs and to suppress your own ego and desires. It's an interesting statement that I have found a rule of life that's essential. Remember what he said? He said, if I could line up all the behinds I've had a kiss to get where I am, they'd go around the world twice. Now, why am I telling you this? I don't know exactly why I'm telling you. I think it's a good thing for young people to remember who come out of school being taught that the world owes them something. As an older person once said to a younger person, yes, the world owes you a living. Now you have to go out and make it. Fine, the world owes you a living. Now go out and earn it. That's it. They owe you a living. Now go and earn it. No one's going to give you anything. You can scream all you want. You can hit all the police you want with bottles and bricks. You're not going to get a dime out of it. You're going to ruin your own life and possibly wind up in prison if you keep this up. So it comes down to what I found in my life. The people I have found who are the most least successful in life, meaning they can't get anywhere, they don't make any money, they're always losing jobs, they're always angry at someone. I found that those people don't know how to accommodate anyone else. They resent everybody around them. They think someone stole something from them. And they are unwilling, they're uncompromising in their arrogance and egotism. So, you know, if you want something from somebody, I mean, the sheet is be nice to them. It's that simple. You hear that? Anybody who has something, listen to what the sheet said. The minute you want something from others, especially money, you've got to give them something they want in return. I remember a rabbi said to a disgruntled young man who hated his teaching job because he thought he should be teaching somewhere else at a higher level. And the rabbi said to him, He said, remember the rule, Barry. He said, those who have the gold make the rules. That's the golden rule. Well, Barry didn't like hearing that. He got angry at the rabbi. But the rabbi was right. That's the golden rule, he said. He said, remember, those who have the gold make the rules. That's the golden rule. And on that pleasant note, my sermon for the hour is over. I won't give you the phone number because we're sold out, as usual, on the Savage Nation. Today it's the unprotected. If only Barry Obama knew that rule, that he has to please the people, not the bums in the streets and the billionaires at Facebook and Microsoft who put him where he is and keep him where he is. We're going to go to unscreened calls, Santa Baby, and let's go to line number 5. You are on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind and what is your name?
Hi, it's Dan. My name is Dan.
And what's your point?
Well, I wanted to commend you on your book, The Stop the Coming Civil War, on what you wrote on the chapter on the war on American medicine. On page 129, you mentioned Jonathan Gruber, where you said that genetic lottery winners should pay more for their health insurance. And when I read this page of Jonathan Gruber, I thought, you knew about this guy and wrote about this guy long before any of us knew about him.
That's right, but I don't take credit for knowing about him. I could have jumped on it and started talking about Gruber at the time, but I didn't. I leave that to the shrill in the media to make believe they knew about him. But yes, he did say that. He was an evil man. It's interesting, page 129, what was needed when enter MIT's Jonathan Gruber, I wrote. I can't believe the level of insanity coming out of once great universities. Gruber is the genius who said, quote, genetic lottery winners should pay more for their health insurance, close quote, reference 20. And I said, you understand how twisted this Gruber is, right? Saying that our healthcare system is discriminatory, that if you're healthy, you should pay more, and if you're sick, you should pay less. The problem is that there are any number of reasons you might be sick. I've tried to take good care of myself. I've lived a healthy lifestyle. So don't you think I should pay less for my health care? Shouldn't people live right who don't take drugs, who don't have hyper-multiple sex partners? Shouldn't they be rewarded instead of Obamacare charging me more so people who haven't lived healthy lifestyles can pay less? I say people who indulge in risky behavior should pay more. I don't want to pay for their behavior. I engage in the riskiest behavior on earth. I sleep 8 hours at night. I eat a clean, healthy diet. I don't smoke or don't do drugs. I'm a normopath. I don't sleep with 50 people a week. We're not allowed to mention that promiscuity spreads sexually transmitted diseases. For instance, one of the consequences of providing contraception is that it can encourage people to engage in risky behavior. So with Obamacare, we get to pay for people who get STDs because of their own irresponsible behavior, I ask. I mean, I go on and on. Yes, I quote Gruber. And I should pay for an idiot who's injecting heroin. I should pay for a guy who smokes. I should pay for a prostitute riddled with disease. I don't want to pay for them, I wrote. That's how I feel. You pay for your own liver transplant if you drank like a fool. I'm not in favor of people who want the middle class, folks who live with morals, scruples, and integrity, to pay for those who have debauched, who live debauched lives. But that's where the collective wealth of America's once great middle class is headed. Well, thank you for reminding me of that. I kind of forgot about it.
Well,
I'm glad you took the book to heart and you actually read it.
It just blew me away when I read that. After I heard about Gruber and then just thinking about you when you wrote it, you had to have written about him months ago before anybody knew about him.
This book has been was written. It came out in October. It's been written over the last year, since last November, October. I've been researching and writing it. I knew about Gruber then. But that quote is from quite a while ago. I knew how cretinous this man was. But this is the elite thinking of the communist socialist in the university today. What station are you listening to the show on?
KKOB Albuquerque.
Beautiful. And then what's your name again?
Dan.
Dan, you're off today or what?
Yeah, I am.
What
I live
kind of work,
in Colorado.
What kind of work do you do?
I do field and lab work of concrete, soils, and asphalt.
So what does that consist of? What does that mean?
Well, for instance, if I go to a construction site and they're going to pour concrete, then I got to test the air content and slump, and then I make cylinders for compressive strength tests in the lab.
You think anybody in the Occupy movement could do that?
No.
Does anyone in the Occupy movement make anything, bake anything?
No.
I think, you know, all they do is break things. They're known as the wastrels of our society. They're the bums. They're the useless idiots of the world, and the president and Nancy Pelosi thinks that they're the cream of society. Is it any wonder that we're living in an Alice in Wonderland world and universe under this character in the White House? It's unbelievable to me.
It is.
They don't make things. They don't bake things. All they do is break things. But thank you very much. I often think about that. What would this world be like if it wasn't for the people who have studied so hard for their professions or their trades? I can't imagine the world we would be living in. But if you want to imagine what that is like, take a look at an African country today, and you'll see what the world could become. Or take a look at some of the nations of the world where there's very, very poor education, such as in the Middle East, and you'll see where this world could be heading. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back to take unprotected calls.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So I looked up when reference 20 on Gruber in my book. It was from November 2013 I found it. In Real Clear Politics, no less, where he said Obamacare architect genetic lottery winners have been paying an artificially low price. I found it in Real Clear Politics, November 13th, 2013. Would you believe this? I mean, I read everything, and they all wound up in the book Stop the Coming Civil War. It's the single reference book the country's going to need come January, when I'm going to start telling you about what the Republicans need to be motivated to do to save this country. I don't know that we can do it. We're probably going to have to get in the face of Boehner, McConnell, and the leadership. We're probably going to have to literally become a conservative Occupy movement in order to get them to stop screwing us, in plain English. Because I know one rule of life. Let me tell you the rule. When Democrats and Republicans get together, you can make one conclusion. The American people are being screwed. And that's what's going on right now. Boehner was not elected. He just was brought in on the coattails of all of the young people that were swept into power. No one voted for Boehner and McConnell. They're despised. They're hated. When you think about what I'm saying to you, these leaders, so-called the Republican Party, were the reason the Republican Party was hated. And yet, people like me said, I want you to, for a moment, put that down, hold your nose, go out and vote for the Republicans because we got to get the power back. And the work will begin in January. And yet, these arrogant party apparatchiks like Boehner and the rest of the establishmentarians are acting as though they were just elected. That their mandate was restored to screw the American people. Bigger government, more taxes, more regulations. The exact opposite is true. They were not elected. They just were swept in on the coattails of the true conservatives who are there. And they're the people we're going to support come January. And so that's what I'm going to be working on in January. I may as well tell you, I have a lot of other things I'm going to be working on. I have the conservative scholarships for junior college students I'm going to be telling you more about. What does it mean to be an American, 100 words or less? I'll tell you more about that in January. I am considering creating a new website, a social website, social networking, where not only can people talk to each other who are like-minded conservatives, but meet each other, because people keep asking me for that. There are so many frustrated, lonely, isolated conservatives in this country, and they don't know how to meet each other. So I'm going to set that up. That's another thing I'm going to do. I am going to go ahead and do the weddings, the burials at sea. I'm not going to go through another Black Thursday. I'm not going to do it. I should have done a wedding yesterday somewhere. Or even a burial at sea would have been nice, because I'm not going to let the wind blow the ashes back in my face. You go to the wrong burial at sea company, the ashes come back on the people. Awful. They don't even know which way the wind blows.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Day off from work you hate. But what if you love the work you do? What's the day off for? I look back, you know, I mean, I used to do more things. I used to like guns in my hand, for example. 1980s, father and son at the gun range. The AR-15, the Ruger Mini 14. And those are the good old days, in a way. I'm looking at my own book, Train Tracks, that I wrote last year. It was a great Christmas book. It didn't do that well. The title was wrong, and I should have been on the cover. People didn't even know what it was. My audience would have loved it if they knew it was my book. But in the title chapter set in the early 50s, Savage remembers the excitement and mystery of riding the train from New York's old Penn Station to rural Pennsylvania at the start of the holiday break. drawn from Savage's own journey from poor immigrant son to media stardom. These deeply personal true tales show us that even in today's homogenizing times, we're all charting a unique destiny as we journey through life, which is absolutely true. It's good jacket copy. But I'm looking through the pictures of the book, and I mean, I used to do more things because I had, the kids were young. You know, it's a beautiful thing about children is they organize your life. They give you a reason to live, a purpose. Father and Son at the Gun Range, 1980s. AR-15 in my hand, Ruger Mini 14 in my son's hand, hitting targets at 1,000 feet, bing, the pinging of the metal targets. Mama Savage in her little queen's kitchen where she cooked for an army. I couldn't believe it. I've told the story numerous times. My friend Lorenzo, God rest his soul, he died of cancer this year. Horrible death. Oh, what the doctors did to him. My God. They tortured him for 3 years. I knew he would. It's always the same end. They take every dime you have. They torment you. Then the last thing, they sent them to a crackpot in Germany on some... Oh, my God, what they did to him. They tore him to pieces on the hope. You know, I know it's the same thing. I had a relative recently before him who died of pancreatic cancer. It was heartbreaking. And they all have hope. You can't say no, you know. Guys, oh, we have the best doctors in D.C. They're going to take care of him. They got us secure. You go home and you just say, oh, God, no. No. Mama Savage in the little queen's kitchen where she cooked for an army. The four-burner stove, electric. She used to keep aluminum foil underneath the grate in case gravies spilled. They were so neat, those women. And there she is smiling with her son. Her peripatetic son came in from somewhere around the world to visit. And I have my left arm over her. Narrow kitchen, like a Pullman kitchen in a little attached house in Queens. But I told you, from the time I was in college, no matter when I came home, there were meals in the refrigerator. 2, 3, 4 regular meals ready to go. I'll heat it up for you, don't worry. I come in with my friends after a night of partying, dancing, 2 a.m. She'd get up, come down, God bless her, miss her. You want to eat? You remember Scorsese's mother in The Goodfellas? Well, we weren't like that kind of guys. I mean, different kind of kids, but the same mother type. The same mother. We didn't have a dead man in the trunk. Maybe we had dead man's pants in the trunk, but we had no dead men in the trunk. And she'd pull out meals. I don't know how she did it. There was no one living at home but her and my father. He was still living. And she always had meals ready. And there's a great picture in Train Tracks of me and the dog. And it says, the night we all lost, Election Eve 2008. I remember I had a party on a yacht. I rented a boat for, like, donors to the Savage Legal Fund. And I was downstairs in the owner's cabin, you know, chartered boat. And we had a TV on to watch the election returns. And we know that the con man won. And it was the night we all lost, Election Eve 2008. Great picture. Great picture. But what's the point? I'm just saying there was more to do then. Because the kids are around. When kids are around, people have more to do. You have to live for them. Then when you have no one to live for, it's pretty open-ended on what you do with yourself. You just don't know what to do with yourself. I'm going to run, take another bike ride, and it's too self-indulgent. I don't like all the self-satisfied runners and bicyclists. They get doing it for you or something, like they're doing it for humanity. I love they truck their bicycle out from San Francisco to the suburbs, and then they're on the bike, suddenly they're sacrosanct. They're clean as a whistle. Then the bike gets put back on the SUV to go back to San Francisco. Yeah, that's nonsense, the whole thing. What are you going to do? You're going to, you know, float around it all. You got to ride the waves. Christmas. It's over already. It's sad in a way because the holiday season, I love the trees. And then you see the trees in the gutter. They throw them out soon. And then I like the smell. Gone. Here we are already now. What are we on to next? All right, people don't want to hear it. They're still, I'm on vacation. Don't remind me. I'm off till London. The publishers are closed till January 5th. Does anyone work anymore? Radio stations closed. Publishers closed. Universities closed. Well, that's why all the bums are in the streets protesting. It's all the stone girls. Nothing. Let's see. Retailers ride to the top. Blah, blah, blah. Retailers, they do well. Do I know what a box store did? I didn't even go in one. I didn't buy anything for anybody. I swear to God. I sent a few emails with happy holidays. Robert, did you buy anyone gifts? You have to know if you're a normal person. If you're a normal person, you buy gifts, you get gifts. I didn't open one gift. Nobody sent me a thing. I'm glad. I didn't want anything. I don't want a shirt I'm not going to wear. The worst thing someone could have sent me would be like, let me think of it, like a horrible shirt, like with a lizard on it. I would burn it. They sent me like a shirt with a little lizard on the left corner. I got one once when I was 16. I hated it. Or like they think a man needs a checked. Let's see, it's wintertime. Let's get a man a checked flannel shirt. I don't cut wood. I don't wear checked shirts. I don't cut wood. I wear kind of elegant things when I get dressed. But I'm going to cut wood like a woodcutter. Poison a man. You got a man's gift. What do you get a man? Man, get a man. You know, man gift. Man gift. What's in the news? Is there anything in the news? I was on all the sites. What? You mean even the terrorists are off at Christmas, but they're Muslims? I don't get it. You mean even they take a day off? Because no one's... You know why? See, this tells you the whole thing you got to know. Because their fellow travelers in the media are off. They don't even bother blowing things up and killing over the holidays. See, if Anderson Cooper took a 365-day vacation, along with Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper, I think world terrorism would end. Because they'd have nobody to perform for. They have to go about their normal business of beating up their wives and abusing their children. 855-407-282. Don't call. It was sold out. It's open mic to mic. It's unscreened. I'm not in the mood to take calls right now. I'm moving into something else. I don't know what I want to do. It's a middle of the 3-hour show. I'm an hour and 40 minutes into it now. I'm going to be here the full 3 hours for those of you who get the show for 3 hours. I should get more of the 3 hours. I mean, they should give me more of that third hour in New York and elsewhere. I shouldn't say it, but I mean it. I'm doing live most of the time, a whole thing now. I did a little pre-recorded, but I have so much energy for radio, I don't want to be off the air. In fact, I should do 4 hours a day. I should do one in the middle of the night when I get up and I can't sleep and I think about mortality. The ideal show for me would be like a 4-hour block now. And like at 3 in the morning, a wake-up job, at 3 to 4, I go on the air. When I wake up and say, oh, my God, what am I going to do when I die? And this kind of thing, is there really an afterlife? Do I believe in God? I go through that. I have certainty about it. Well, maybe you do. I don't. What do I know? Maybe there is nothing. Maybe the machine just stops. I have a neuropsychiatrist friend. Very nice man. Very smart man. But he's convinced that we're nothing but machines. Neuromuscular machines. And he said he doesn't believe in the next world, doesn't believe in the next. He's a very nice, probably a better person than most religious people I know. So don't say he's a bad man. But the thing is, I don't give him a litmus test on what they believe in. But he said to me, I don't know. He said, Michael, he said, you know, I think that when it's over, when my brain stops working, it stops. It all stops. So I said, well, I don't. Truthfully, I don't. I said, I'm like a child in that regard. I truly believe that there's another world or worlds. I think there are many worlds, incidentally. I don't think there's another world, personally. Because it goes back to a famous story I heard, and I may as well tell it now. It's a perfect time for this. There's a very famous story from Russia after the communists took over complete power, total power in Russia. They then started to get control of the Christians and the Jews. They wanted the religion snuffed out, controlled by the government. The communists of today in America are identical. Little by little, they've been putting a noose around the churches. Now they've co-opted them through the, for example, the Catholic Church, totally co-opted by the government, who gives them hundreds of millions of dollars for resettling illegal aliens, for example. Baptist Family Services, $300 million in one grant for. Why would you think that Obama would have cleverly given fundamentalists so much money? Again, to squash his opposition. So it's very much like Russia, but it's done with a silk glove now. In other words, they're slowly but surely crushing the pulpit. So anyway, famous story. The communists in Russia take over complete power, the Bolsheviks, Bolshevik Revolution. They go to the chief rabbi, or one of the head rabbis of the Hasidic movement, the ultra-religious, ultra-orthodox in Moscow. And they knew he had a very large following. Russia had a very large Jewish population. And they were not communists. They hated the communists. And the communists went to him, the rabbi, and they said, we want you to go out on your balcony because we know you have a very devout audience, and we want you to say to them not to believe in God, but to believe in the new government. And the rabbi said, I will not do that. I cannot do that because I don't believe in it, and it's not true. So one negotiation after another, they said, we're going to imprison you if you don't do it. He said, I'm sorry, I can't say it. They put him into Lubyanka prison. I believe it was Lubyanka. And, okay, so now he's first in a cell. They go to him again. And they say, look, you got to go out and you got to tell your followers to believe in the government, the new Bolshevik government, not to believe in a God that doesn't exist. He said, I'm not going to do that because I know God exists. They said, well, you know, this is not going to work well for you. They put him to a lower level in the prison. They kept trying to negotiate it with him. He wouldn't bend. Finally, he was in a basement with water up to his neck with rats. And they said to him, if you don't go out on the balcony and tell the Jewish people to believe in the government, not to believe in God, you're going to die down here. So the old man, the rabbi, was an elderly man, looked at the interrogator, and he recognized him, and he knew he was a Jew. He knew who he was. He remembered him as a kid. And he knew he could talk to that spark of belief that was still left in this young communist. And he said to this kid, if you believe in many gods and one world, act accordingly. But if you believe in one God and many worlds, then act accordingly. As the story goes, and it's a true story, it led to his release. It led to his arrival in America. And it led to him beginning and starting the Hasidic movement here in the United States of America. That's an absolutely true story that I never forgot. And the reason I'm telling you that story is because we're facing the same pressures today from this communist, socialist, anarchist government under Obama. They put a noose around all of the religious institutions in this country through funding. And they're trying to get these religious institutions, which they've succeeded in doing, from stopping the criticism of this atheist in the White House and this atheistic group of bandits who are running the country off the rails. Notice there's never any statement from any of the religious organizations against Obama, whether it be abortion. No matter what he does, they don't say a word. Not one word. There's no criticism of the communist regime that's running this country. So that's how they start. It's a silk glove sort of Bolshevism. But it never ends as a silk glove Bolshevism. That's a true story from the Savage Nation. 85, I shouldn't give you the number because we have no room for any callers. But it's a beautiful story, isn't it? Robert, did you like that story? You're not a religious guy, but wasn't it a good story? People are going to say, Michael, could you repeat it? No, I'll get a migraine if I repeat it. But it comes down to that one statement. If you believe in one world and many gods, act accordingly. If you believe in one God and many worlds, act accordingly. Meaning, what does that mean, if you believe in one God and many worlds? What do you think the old rabbi was saying to the young communist? He struck fear in his heart. What does that mean? One God and many worlds. It means that you'll be punished in one of the many worlds, the myriad of worlds out in the stratosphere, in the heavens, in the universes. You don't know where you're going to be sent for what you do on this earth. You don't know what your next life might be. That's what he said to him. And that's how he saved his life and brought the spark of that branch of Judaism to America. It's a very famous story, very important story, too. And I think it's worth telling now, even though, you know, I'm doing more of a news story today than anything else. You like that story? How many likes do I have? I don't even know what that means, like on Facebook. Likes, dislikes. What does that mean, Robert? The idiots of the news. Likes, trend. What kind of idiots? Trending now. Likes, dislikes. I'm going to look which way the wind blows. I'm going to tell you the stories from my heart, and that's going to be my likes, whether I like it or not. I mean, how do I know what you like? Only the idiots in the media. Likes, dislikes, friends, unfriends. You know, what does it mean? That's like listening to a headless horseman out there. I know what I'm talking about. Therefore, you like what I'm talking about. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Do you have a...
All right, give him a whatever. Okay, welcome back. As U.S. troops return to Iraq, more private contractors follow. Article out of Reuters. So I look into the contractors who are going to make billions again, and I see certain names that set off alarm bells. Constellus Holdings, Inc. Now, who's on Constellus Holdings, Inc.? Well, we'll have that information for you later on the show. Then we see the Richard Blum, Dianne Feinstein, Iraq connection through his numerous octopus corporations. Blum Capital Partners, LP. Bought a controlling share of Perini in 1997. Really? Named his close associate, the attorney Michael Klein, to represent his interest on the board of directors? Really? Perini? Wonder what they're going to be doing over in Iraq. So the CIA has plenty of work ahead of it if it only wants. The Democrats' Daddy Warbucks.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And today, our family will join millions across the country in celebrating the birth of Jesus. The birth not just of a baby in a manger, but the message that has changed the world. To reach out to the sick, the hungry, the troubled, and above all else, to love one another as we would be loved ourselves.
Isn't that nice? You know, it was very inspiring to hear the most atheistic president in history to say those words to the poor troops who were forced to listen to him at Kaneohe Air Base. I saw an article before Christmas that I have to refer to you. It says, Obama's spiritual advisor says his Christian faith has only deepened. It published on Newsmax, written by Elliot Jager. Obama's spiritual advisor says his Christian faith has only deepened. Now listen to this article. You talk about propaganda. President Barack Obama is not expected to go to church during Christmas. The president rarely attends worship services, preferring to read scripture and pray in private. Anyone listening to this show believe that Obama reads scripture and prays in private? Raise your hand. I see a sea of hands that are not raised. Those familiar with his Christian faith say he does not go to church regularly, partly because he does not want to disrupt the experiences of regular parishioners, and that the Obama family prefers to use Sundays to bond and for downtime. I thought it was for golf and basketball. The president's faith has deepened in the second term. He said as much, said Joshua Dubois, who headed the Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships during Obama's first term. Another community organizer, in other words. Church going has not been part of Obama's routine since he became president and left Chicago's Trinity United Church of Christ. And its pastor emeritus, Jeremiah Wright, you know what a fine fellow he was. Jeremiah Wright said, God damn America, and things like that. He has been to church as president less than 24 times. Instead, Obama turns to several progressive and activist theologians for spiritual succor. These include Dubois, as well as pastors Joel Hunter, Jim Wallace, and 90-year-old Joseph Lowry, founder of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, according to Politico. The president reads daily devotional sent via email by his spiritual circle. I mean, this is hilarious stuff. Anyway, you get the picture. So he stays home on Sundays and reads scripture and prays in private. I mean, this is really too much stuff. And someone sent me this. It says his take on the interrogation debate. Remember what Feinstein did to America by releasing the CIA report? And this was sent to me. It says, George Orwell, a man of the left, made clear that people sleep peacefully in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf. Today we are telling our rough men to stop being rough. It's no longer necessary. It's called torture. It's illegal and immoral. And we're ashamed of them. To our enemies, this will appear as a kind of unilateral disarmament. All of us, Ms. Feinstein and Mr. Stewart included, should think about that. Perhaps tonight when we lie down in our beds. I would direct this to those of you who hate the police. George Orwell, a man of the left, made clear that people sleep peacefully in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf. Today we're telling our rough men, whether they be police or soldiers, to stop being rough. It's torture, it's illegal and immoral. We're ashamed of them. And of course, to our enemies and the thugs in the streets, this will appear as a kind of unilateral disarmament. So, Ms. Feinstein, thank you very much for destroying the United States of America's CIA. Thank you very much. I'm Michael Savage. This is One Man's Opinion. We're having unprotected talk tonight. There is no call screener. You call 855-407-2282, but you'll waste your time. The lines have been sold out from the beginning. When I say you're on the air, please tell us your name, the station you're listening to, and what your major point is. So let me read you a poem I found that I wrote September 24th, 2013. Again, I'm going through my notes. For some reason, I don't know, I wrote these things down. Some of it's funny. Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. John Boehner said, I drink, therefore I am. Nancy Pelosi said, I clink, therefore I am. Barack Obama says, I blink, therefore I am. I make notes to myself to entertain myself. It's like doodling. And then I wrote this poem called Like an Idiot. I see through all. I don't know how to keep it to myself. With a microscope, I saw through rocks. With a gyroscope, I tore through clocks. With a stethoscope, I wore through time itself. With an oscilloscope, I spun through sound. With an unknown scope, I peered within and found the onion empty. Not bad. I mean, it's a starter of something. It's a doodle. That's what I'm doing. So let's go to unprotected talk. Any topic is fair game. News, views, and reviews. Line number 7, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
My God. Am I on the line, Michael?
Yes. Tell us your name, please, and what station you're listening to.
Yeah, my name is Enid Pusflans. I'm listening to WVLK 590 AM in Lexington, Kentucky.
I love it. That's such a beautiful thing. So what's on your mind tonight, my friend?
Well, if you can get over my accent, and I had a hard time getting over yours.
No. I love that you have an accent that's real. I have a real one.
Well, I listened to yours for a couple of years, and I told my wife, I said, Lord God, if I can get over his accent, I can deal with him. But
I know. Hey, people said to me, you're too New York, you'll never make it in radio. They said that 20 years ago.
I worked with guys overseas years ago from Queens and whatnot, and I said, man, you're okay, but I'm struggling with it. And they accepted me, you know, because I've...
That's right. That's what makes America beautiful. If you could actually listen to what the man is saying... Instead of how he sounds, you're on the road to recovery.
Exactly right. Well, you posed some questions early on, and I would not be doing duty to you if I did not do so. You posed a question, who are the worst people in the news media? And in my opinion, and I have a pretty good opinion, Chris Matthews on MSNBC. I was watching him during the election returns. And he was having a meltdown.
Chris Matthews is a Democrat operative. He's irrelevant at this stage of his career. He should have been put out to pasture a long time ago. He's just a joke of his. He's a parody of his former self. He never was anything but a hack for the Democrat Party. But I don't think he has any influence. He has no influence whatsoever. I'm talking about the worst person in the media who has influence, yet they're as bad as him. That would be Jake Tapper, I would think. One day Jake Tapper will talk about getting a thrill up his leg the way Chris Matthews did. I can guarantee it.
Well, Chris was breaking sweat, and he was during the November elections. Chris was breaking sweat. He didn't know what to say, and he was struggling. And
Chris Matthews is Candy Crowley in a pair of pants.
That's exactly right. With his hair parted on the side.
And there you go.
Mattis, she was covering for him, and she was changing the subject as best she could with a tight dress. And
she wore a dress? Who was she trying to fool?
She was wearing a tight dress, and I think she was probably...
It may be the first dress she was ever forced to wear since she's 14.
Well, she was doing a commercial for Persona.
The worst nightmare I would have would be to see Rachel Maddow in a dress.
I really,
that's one image I never want to see. I don't think I'd ever recover from it.
I couldn't see her, but from the waist up, I was watching television like most of America. And
well, that'd be like watching Hillary Clinton in a dress from the waist down. I would never want to see that. I don't think I'd ever recover from it.
I don't think I want to either. But she was...
The thought of Hillary Clinton in a dress from the waist down, I don't think I could ever watch television again.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway...
All right, my buddy, anything... What's your major point, though? Give me a... Oh, so you made it, which is Chris Matthews, number one. Who's the second worst in the media?
Oh, well, the second one was her, but I read your book, and we've gotten to the point that you mentioned in Stop the Coming Civil War. It took me forever and a day to get my... I'm old. I'm pushing 70, and I don't do things like other people do, but... I have some sons, and one of them got me the book. I said, I want Michael Savage's book. Get it. I don't care what it costs. And he got it. It was on one of these internet sites, and I read it. And we're past the point, and we've gotten to the point where it says, if all else fails, and here's the thing. The election took place. And when the election took place, and I was watching Chris Matthews sweat, it was an obvious rebuttal of everything that the Obama administration had done.
But these people are making believe there was no election. They went past it because they lost and we won. But we won and they lost. The problem is Boehner is the problem because he's acting as though there was a repudiation not of Obama, but a repudiation of the people who went to the polls who are America's conservatives. Let me say one thing to you. You said something I don't agree with. You said you're 70 and you're old. Listen to what my cardiologist told me. Never let an old person live in your body. You're not old. You're only as old as you think you are. You don't have to say I'm an old man because you're 70. Why do you think you're old at 70?
Well, I've got a lot of people that are a lot younger than me that have passed on, but
you don't sound old to me. Your mind's very active.
Well, yes, it is. And
do you have any medical issues?
Well, I've got prostate problems. I cannot urinate.
I'm sorry to hear about that. Well, my friend, I have no sage advice for you other than look into some alternative therapy such as saw palmetto may help you with that particular issue. I can't guarantee it, obviously, because I don't know the condition or what is causing it. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Please don't call it. There's not even one open line. Let's go to the next unscreened call, line 3. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes. What's your name and what station are you listening on?
My name is Raji. I'm in New York. I'm listening to ABC. You are amazing, Dr. Michael Savage. You inspire me so. And I'm like a little candle before shining sun, and I feel so nervous to call you. And today...
Oh, come on, stop. Let me say this. It's a beautiful thing what you said, but remember this. Without all those millions of candles, there would be no sun.
Oh, thank you. You are such a great... And, you know, you are namaste, and you know where I'm from. I gathered my courage today.
Are you from India?
Yes, and you said you went to Indian buffet, and I said, you know what? You must like Indian people also.
Oh, I've always had an affinity for Indian people. I've always enjoyed the conversations. And I didn't know Indian people until I spent many years in Fiji, where half the population is of East Indian extraction, and what amazed me about the Indian people is that they were brought over as indentured sugar workers, meaning slaves. Instead of complaining about it, they saved every rupee, every Fijian dollar they could save, and they built little businesses until they eventually wound up running the government. That's why I love the Indian peoples, how hard they work. Also, the religion of Hinduism has a great deal to do with the thriftiness and the work ethic of the Indian people. I know that.
Absolutely. But you know what amazes me, Honorable Dr. Savage, that, you know, you wear so many hats at once. You know, you are a doctor, you are a lawyer, you are a politician, you are a saint. Most important, you have such a kind heart, which inspires me all the time. And, you know, you literally took that gentleman out from depression. And I simply cannot believe this. I'm actually a psychiatrist, board certified, and I said,
wow.
I have a lot to learn from you. And then you got the dog back to our honorable soldier. And
oh, wow, you're an amazing caller. You want to hear something? What is your name, doctor?
My name is Raji, R-A-J-I, and also...
But doctor, wait, stay on the line. You know, if I had had a call screener in, I guarantee you he never would have selected you to call. He would have assumed by your heavy Indian accent that you were not going to be a good caller or would have thought nobody would understand you. Nobody would have understood how important your call is and that you are a psychiatrist, no less. That's the most amazing part of this call. And so if you'll bear with me and stay on the line from WABC, I'll come right back to pick up your call. And then we have to talk a little bit more about spirituality, politics, all the different things that you actually hear in me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. I don't know if Roger appreciates this, but we're playing the only Hindi music we have in the carousel. Roger, welcome back to the Savage Nation from WABC in New York. I'm sure you're not a Krishna follower, but it's beautiful music anyway.
Dr. Michael Savage, you are actually, I've been listening to you for the past year or so. You have changed my life. Because of you, I was able to vote. This November voted all the way conservative. And
Wait. I'm sorry, Raji. You were able to go where?
I went to vote. And I voted conservative line. And I was inspired because of you. And I worry about this country a lot.
Now, when you see patients in New York, I assume you have a practice as a psychiatrist?
Yes, I do.
What is their major problem?
A major problem here is denial. People deny. People are just living in a world of fantasy, and everything has been given to them, and they feel that everything is going to last the same way. But again, it's not their fault. We may say it's karma, and we do have a propaganda.
So most of them are complaining what? That they don't have what they want, or they had something more and they're losing it? What is their main issue?
Well, main issue is that nobody has a peace of mind, in spite of having everything.
Oh, so it's anxiety. Anxiety.
Anxiety, greed, and fear of failure. These are the things.
Fear of failure. That's the Manhattan. Are you in Manhattan?
I live in Scarsdale, New York.
Oh, one of the upscale communities, of course.
It's okay. I mean, upscale. These are all relative terminology, Dr.
No, it's beautiful in Scarsdale, but behind the stone facades, there's emptiness.
Exactly. And I just want to say something to you. By the way, I also am an artist. I sing in 6 different languages. I'm on YouTube, but something I wanted to say in Indian, I don't think you have too many Indian audience. I'm not sure. Maybe you do. Not to underestimate, but tumhe kya bataye, kya yaad aya.
What does that mean?
It means, how can I say to you, when I look at you, what do you remind me? And then it goes to say, tumhe jab bhi dekha,
Well, now, all of the gods in the Hindu religion, I've seen so many of them. What would the god of Michael Savage look like?
Well, I look into you, higher power, and Lord Buddha, because I am a pranic healer. There's the one site, pranichealing.org. And
wow, I love this. The next time I go to New York, you and I have to go out and have some an Indian buffet together.
Sorry. I would love to cook for you.
Robert, can you get this young lady's email? I'd love to speak with her. I really want to see where this comes from and where it's going. It's the Savage Nation. 855-407-2282. Any topic is fair game.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE.
Green Berets, right? Rangers. They should be in the military instead of wasting their time promoting... I guess they could be if we needed them. I guess we can force them into the military if we really, really need them. Like, we have to do that kind of thing. And there must be guys in the military who learned from that. That's what I would think. I was watching a show last night about one of the greats, I don't remember his name, but he was a jumper. One of them, beautiful wife and baby and this and that. And a daredevil, he broke his hips, he broke his back, he broke his arm, he broke his leg. But nothing could stop this guy. What a brave guy. And then he did one jump. And one of the skis didn't release. He went into a tailspin and died, 39 years old. He's too old to be doing that, frankly. Should have quit earlier. You know, everyone's got to know when to hold and when to fold. It even applies to me, but I'm a long way from that. I could have retired years ago, but what? Retired to what? I'm just warming up for 2015 right now. Robert knows that. It's not about age. It's about energy, and it's about insights, and it's about what you want to do and how good you're at, you're doing it. I mean, how good are you at what you're doing? So today we're doing Unprotected Talk because it's Friday. So he said to me, look, there's no staff available. You have only a board operator, no screener. So I said, all right, we'll do unscreened calls. It's actually working out well, you think about it. I mean, I'm getting calls I would normally never get on the air, right? Raji was great. The guy from Lexington, Kentucky was good. The guy from New York, ABC, was good. I mean, we had good callers, and I'm on a roll. I mean, I got energy. I'm dreading 25 minutes from now when the show goes black, and I have like a nightmare ahead of me. Saturday, Sunday, Monday till noon, I don't know what to do with myself. You say, well, it's sad. I'm not sad. I'm not writing a book. That's what it is. It means whenever I get in this state of mind, it means I'm about to start writing a book. When I reach this freak out point, where it's absolute emptiness, the void of nothing. And then I start writing a new book, which I'll start doing soon. That's what's going to happen. Because I don't let it sit too long. I do not, I don't, you know, I'm not, I'm like the Rolling Stone. I'm not idle too long. And then it's over. Then the machine stops and God knows what's waiting for me. One God in many worlds or many worlds in one God. Do you know the answer to that one? Robert, do you know? No, nobody knows. So you gotta act as though it's one God in many worlds and you're going to be rewarded or punished in the next world for your life in this world. Then you're gambling. I mean, you do the odds on that one. See, you could run your life like an atheist and say, there's nothing. I'm not going to pay for what I'm doing on this earth. There's no God. There's no judgment day. Well, what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong and you come back as a chicken that I just ate, for example? Like during the break, I went... During the break, I just went to the refrigerator, the radio refrigerator. I was getting hungry, so I had a chicken from, what today, Friday? Must have been from Wednesday. I mic'd it. And then it smelled so good, I wanted to eat. I ate leftover Indian food from last night's takeout buffet. Eggplant, and I found out there was milk, and it didn't hurt me this time. I don't know what they did. And as I was mic'ing the chicken, I thought about the poor creature. I saw its eyes, and its... You know, so what am I supposed to do? I'm not a vegetarian. I can't be a vegetarian. I've tried it. I can't last more than one meal as a vegetarian. One meal as a vegetarian, I get so yinned out. My energy, I'm a yang man. If you know what that is, I'm a yang man. I need yang food. If I eat too much yin food, I lose my energy. I start to sound like a person who teaches at Columbia Law. I need that energy. I must have animal protein. First of all, it's not just the fact that I'm a meat eater because I like to kill, you know, eat animals that are dead. First of all, it was dead anyway, I figured. And then I remember back to the English essayists of the 1800s when vegetarianism was going through a popular phase. And I forget who the essayist who wrote this, one of the great English writers, he said, you know, they had private clubs as they do now. And he said, I was about to become a vegetarian when the waiter served the big fish at the table. And he pulled the cover off the tray of fish. And as he opened up the fish's belly, there was another fish inside the fish. And he said he thought that if a fish is good enough for a fish, then it's good enough for me. And he decided not to be a vegetarian at that point. It was a rationalization that works for me. But I've tried just pure vegetable diets. I can't do it. If you can and you're strong, good luck to you. I admire you. There's nothing wrong with it. I just can't do it. I'm not one of those people who can be a vegetarian or what do they call it today? Vegan. A lot of people are vegans today. You probably live longer, but I can't do it. I need that energy, the yang energy. I get very low blood sugary. My eyes, I just feel like a headache. No, I eat a traditional. I'm not a meat and potatoes guy, don't get me wrong, but I can't do vegetarian. So we'll go back to the open mic to mic show today. And I'm not going to ask any questions. It's unprotected talk. I don't know what I'm going to get. Line 7, you are on the Savage Nation with more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life. What's on your mind tonight?
All right.
Yep, you're on the radio. What's your name?
Hello?
Already. What's your name, sir?
My name is Cody.
And what station are you listening on?
I'm on KSFO.
San Francisco. So, Cody, what's on your mind today?
Well, I'm in Sacramento, pretty far from San Francisco. But I'm 21, and I wanted to talk about your... In the beginning, you were talking about marijuana and the harmful side effects. I'm pretty interested in that subject. I've lived my life as, you know, no drugs, no alcohol, but... Like many other people my age, I've been brainwashed to think that marijuana is good for you and it's not harmful. I'd like to hear more about that topic.
Okay, it's a very important topic. I've done it many times. It's not an ethical issue to me. It's not a moral issue to me. But anyone who has the ability to do a search on toxins in marijuana will find that what I'm telling you is the truth. Okay? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Anyone who is using marijuana for medicinal purposes to begin with should listen very carefully. If you're using marijuana for medicinal purposes, first of all, you have a low resistance or a poorly functioning immune system to begin with, and you don't need to introduce additional toxic substances that could further jeopardize your health. So let's look at the toxins in marijuana smoke, and you'll find out that marijuana smoke is worse than tobacco. Toxins may be more abundant in marijuana than in tobacco cigarettes. Researchers burned 30 marijuana cigarettes and 30 tobacco cigarettes on a machine in their lab, and they measured the levels of certain chemicals in the smoke. What did they find? Pay attention, potheads who believe Nancy Pelosi. Ammonia levels were up to 20 times higher in marijuana smoke than in tobacco smoke. Levels of hydrogen cyanide and nitrogen-related chemicals were 3 to 5 times higher in marijuana smoke than in tobacco smoke. The nitrogen-based fertilizer used in the marijuana plants, which all came from the same batch of Canadian pot plants, may have affected the results. The temperatures used to burn the cigarettes may also have been a factor, but marijuana smoke and tobacco smoke shared many of the same chemicals, but the two types of smoke were not identical. We know that marijuana doesn't contain nicotine. Today, oh, nicotine evil. Well, actually, nicotine is not necessarily evil. Tobacco doesn't contain cannabinoids, which include THC, marijuana's active ingredient. However, if you compare the toxicity of marijuana smoke and you look at the ammonia levels, if you look at the other toxins in marijuana, you may decide to stay off the grass. Let me go into the other toxins found in marijuana smoke. There's another reason to keep off the grass. Ammonia, hydrogen cyanide, nitric oxide, and certain aromatic amines occurred at levels 3 to 5 times higher in marijuana smoke than in tobacco smoke. Many, many studies have confirmed this. If you compare mainstream and sidestream marijuana and tobacco cigarette smoke, you will find that there are many reasons to be very cautious of smoking that little J, which you think is so innocuous. And I have nothing else to say on the issue. I think you can research it on your own. American Chemical Society reported marijuana smoke contains higher levels of certain toxins than tobacco smoke. But aside from those considerations, I can tell you from personal experience that marijuana smoking when I was young, and I smoked it pretty consistently from the time I was 17 years of age until, I don't know, in my 20s, it was a disaster for me. I look back on my journals personally that I wrote since 1963, right through the 90s when I entered radio, I stopped writing journals. I can see when I smoked marijuana, my handwriting became less controlled. It was all over the page. My thinking was less focused. I made no sense. You just look at your own writing and you can see what marijuana does to you. What more do you need to know? And the worst part is that you think you're brilliant when you're smoking dope. You're like an infant looking at a crystal. You think you see the world when all you're seeing is a crystal. You're not seeing anything. You're seeing the world through the eyes of an infant, not through a person. Now, if you think you're going to get further in life by smoking dope, you're mistaken. It's going to inhibit you. It's going to lead you astray. You're going to waste a lot of years until you come to understand that what I'm telling you today is for your own good. And that's all I want to say, and I don't want to get sidetracked into the medical dangers of marijuana. It is not an ethical or moral issue for me. You should know that you're being lied to when you're being told it's one of the safest recreational drugs. It is not. It's extremely dangerous. And you'll be older when you hit 40 or 50. You're going to find that you have medical issues that are directly a result of smoking marijuana. Now you'll say, well, what about using a vaporizer? Well, a vaporizer will drastically reduce the amount of toxins in marijuana smoke, but it will still affect your brain negatively. It will not make you a better artist. It'll make you a poorer artist. It will not make you a better writer. It'll make you a worse writer. It will not make you a better anything. And so if you want to believe me, fine. There's another element you should know about that I know about that's never reported in the literature. It's very interesting. A lot of the marijuana that's grown in Hawaii and Northern California, most of it's grown, if it's grown outdoors, not grown in a greenhouse, is grown on volcanic soil. And what you should know is that volcanic soil has high amounts of mercury in it. You know that? And marijuana, as a plant, uptakes a lot of this toxic heavy metal, mercury. And so that's why many marijuana smokers are as mad as hatters. They're getting high levels of mercury in their brains. Again, they don't know this because the culture teaches them, whether it be a movie, you know, everyone has a joint in their hand and this and that, that it's you know, it's innocuous. It isn't innocuous. So that's all I want to say. Look, this is not my opinion. This is medical science. Whether it's a gas chromatograph, mass spectrometer that examined the gas components of marijuana vapor or other analytical instruments, you'll find that I'm telling you the truth. And if you want to poison your lungs and poison your organs, go ahead. Keep smoking cannabis and see how smart you are when you're 50. Next caller, any topic but marijuana. Line 3, you are on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I'm not going to talk about marijuana. I'm going to talk about something else. I was talking to you earlier. Are you still there, Michael? This is...
Thank you very... No, we have to get new callers. Thank you very much. Line 6, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Am I on?
Yes. What's your name and what station?
This is Walter of White Plains, New York. I'm listening on WABC.
And what is on your mind, Walter? Tell us your...
Pictures called The Interview. This is a movie that depicts the...
Yeah, no, I don't want to hear what it is. It's just a big, gigantic public relations stunt for that sad sack, Seth Rogen and Sony Pictures. I'm sick of the promotion that they're getting as a result of this false claim. Thank you, but it probably works for a PR agency. Do not call my show about the movie. I don't care about it. It's just another piece of Hollywood lie. To me, it's like the greatest publicity stunt that they ever pulled. You know, North Korea did it. Is now who cares? Just another vile piece of crap movie put out by Hollywood. Line number 1. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I'm Matt, KSFO. I wanted to bring up project labor agreements, which is a way the unions are taking over the construction industry. Are you familiar with those?
You know, I can't get into this. I think the average person doesn't know it. Give it to us in one or two lines. What are they doing?
It is. It's a tough topic, but billions of dollars are going to union-only industries because they buy school districts and city councils.
Of course they do. They're all corrupt. The unions and the politicians are one and the same. One of the biggest scandals is that $150 million was given by the federal government to a fake insurance company that just went bankrupt under Obamacare, and now the people have no insurance. Ask yourself how the gangsters across America have created insurance companies for Obamacare, gotten billions of dollars from Obama and Nancy Pelosi, and then declared they were bankrupt. Ask where the money went. And then take a look at the yachts in the waters off Florida. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Thanks, Bobby. Give him a joint. We'll meet him backstage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I have only a minute left. 3 hours have had wings on them tonight. I mean, I had no call screener. Robert Borowski, let's have a round of applause for Robert, who's been running the radio organ. I call the big board a radio organ. It's all handwork. Amazing. Not many people can do it. And it was open mic to Mike Friday with a unique twist where there was absolutely no call screening. And except for a few misfires, we've had a wonderful show. And I want to thank you for listening. You are the customer of this program. And as such, I hope you'll keep coming into this theater of the mind called the Savage Nation. And with God's will and your listenership, I'll be back on Monday, same times, same stations, on the Savage Nation. Over the weekend, you may want to look at Stop the Coming Civil War or buy a copy, because come January, we're going to use it as an architectural plan to wake up the drunks in the Republican Party and remind them we didn't put them in power. That's all I have to say. God bless America.
Savage.